Earlier this week, Steve Grzaner sat down with this week's Associated Bank thought leader, Greg Worsick. He is the Senior Vice President and Illinois Market Manager for the Commercial Real Estate Division at Associated Bank to talk about the growing warehouse development in the region by companies like Amazon and Walmart and the future of commercial real estate.
We recently had the CEO of Intersect Illinois on our program, and he was talking about how the state is stepping up its efforts to attract businesses to the state industry and also keeping them from leaving. How big of a competition are we talking about in terms of coming and going in this area?
Well, in Chicago, it's just working with our clients and with the broker network within Chicago, we hear about it every day that that manufacturers are being recruited by the state of Wisconsin and the state of Illinois. They have specific people that have been hired to go after these companies and really the brokerage community as well, create situations where these companies are willing to move, say, from Lake County, Illinois, up into the Kenosha, Racine, or Southeast Wisconsin submarket. It has similar access to freeways and labor pool, but a more stable government, at least perceived to be more stable. And there's tax incentives, and there's a lot they're doing to just try to woo people across the border. Indiana's doing the same thing.
Yeah, a lot of these areas we consider here at WGN part of our metro, where we serve them as part of the metropolitan area. That it's the same deal. I mean, it's in good traffic. You can get here from here to there, or people can go across the border, and it's pretty simple, right?
Yeah, it's I would say, a great example that I use is Uline. Uline was based in Lake County, Illinois, for years. It's a family-owned business, and they moved their headquarters to Kenosha County in 2009. Not only did they move their headquarters, but they built a million-square-foot distribution facility right next door. And in the second quarter of this year, they broke ground on another million-square-foot distribution facility west of 94, right across 94 from the million-square-foot Amazon facility. So big investments that are occurring in southeast Wisconsin, and it's no coincidence. They're expanding, and I think those two companies have made that submarket very legitimate.
I've seen it written in several different articles. They describe it as border wars.
It, very much so, and they don't apologize for it. I've been to commercial real estate functions in Wisconsin and in Indiana. They admit it. They're coming after us. They definitely use the issues with our state government as a leverage point. The instability, the fact that we have our financial issues, our pension issues, and they play the scare card that taxes are the only way that Illinois is going to dig out. And so that's their leverage to get these companies to consider coming over into Indiana and Wisconsin.
It's sad that it pits us against them, and it's sort of a we versus them sort of situation. Because if you look at the giant area as one big metropolitan area, isn't it beneficial to all of us to have an economy that helps everybody, even if they're in another state, or no?
I believe it does. I mean, a lot of those markets, Northwest Indiana and Southeast Wisconsin, in my view, early on became really more spillover. As you follow the interstates and distribution channels, you could see that growth going up into Wisconsin and east into Indiana. And it was really a product of the success of the Chicago market. In fact, if you look at Chicago industrial data, it really includes Southeast Wisconsin and Northwest Indiana in all the brokerage reports. Chicago is broken out into approximately 20 submarkets, which include those two out-of-state submarkets in the analysis. That's how it's viewed. So when a user is in the market looking at different places that they want to be, that's always been on the board.
How does this make your job better, harder, or simpler?
It doesn't make my job that much harder. It makes it more interesting, that's for sure, to try to understand what's motivating these users. But at the end of the day, I focus on the top developers and in the industrial space in Chicago. And my job is to stay attuned to the market. So when they bring me something and say, I want you to finance a million square feet spec in Joliet, I don't seize up. I get it. Yeah. I understand what's going on. And there is a need for that kind of square footage, surprisingly, and it's not just e-commerce.
We'll get into that for a second, but just to follow up on this last notion, and that is you have to be an expert in several states then, don't you? State law and all of those things. Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois?
As much as you can. Yeah. You know, Associated Bank is based in Wisconsin. We're really a Midwest bank. We have commercial real estate offices throughout the Midwest, and we rely on the market experts within all those respective states. So if I have a Chicago developer that wants to do a deal in Ohio, we have people on the ground that can help me with that market. So yeah, it's part of our job to be experts within the different asset classes within our state.
So something you just said really sort of, I wanted to go back to it. There is demand for the kind of space that you're seeing being developed. Those are big spaces. What's driving that demand?
You know, in the Chicago metropolitan area, I would say the big drivers of that demand are down in Joliet is the intermodal. And I think people lose sight of the impact of that facility. When you have 18 terminals that are taking cargo containers off these trains and onto trucks and transporting it throughout, you know, central U.S., it's made Chicago, unknown to many people, the largest inland port in the country, and it's growing very, very quickly. When you offload all that, those containers, you need places to store it and then redistribute it. That's what's driving a lot of those big boxes out on the Southwest corridor, down in I-88 corridor.
Yeah, and
I-80 corridor, excuse me.
The Intersect CEO, this is actually, he said the ace in the hole for Illinois is this very thing that you're talking about. All of these different things coming together right here in Illinois. Not Wisconsin, not Indiana,
no.
In Illinois.
And I don't see that changing. If you look at the reports and what's going on and the volume that's flowing through that inland port in Joliet, they're actually looking to expand that. It's not really common knowledge, but there's land out there that's available to expand that intermodal, and we think it's going to happen. So a lot of these buildings are being built, and this just isn't local. This is a regional and national impact where 50% of the shipments that occur in the U.S. are flowing through that intermodal. So all that has to be distributed. It's creating huge real estate opportunities. And the other piece is the highway system. We have six major highways. You know, one of the big ones being 80 that goes from San Francisco to New York and passes right through Chicago. It's a major distribution point. And same thing with I-55 going south. So, you know, within 1 to 2 days, you can get to a big chunk of the U.S. from a transportation and distribution standpoint every day.
Is Amazon your best friend these days?
Well, I have to admit, I'm like everybody else. I have a Prime account, and yeah. You know, I'm amazed at the things that I have shipped to myself that I used to stop and pick up. If you know what you want, why would you not use it?
Right.
So, I understand what's going on with the explosion with e-commerce.
Yeah, and people, I think I always tell people you're underestimating what's happening here because I'm like you. Why go to a store anymore to only get there and find that it's not there? When you can have it delivered in some cases in my neighborhood the next morning.
Correct.
But they need space for all these distribution centers, and so that's driving some of this demand.
It is part of it. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, you've got the fulfillment center up in Kenosha, which is a two-building, million-square-foot center that they built in 2015 in the Chicago area on the southwest side. Again, you know, down in that I-80 corridor, near Joliet, you have two existing facilities that Amazon has, one that they built last year, and there's a new one that just came online, but there's been four new ones announced, and those are all around 400,000 square foot to about 800,000 square foot. Some of them go as high as a million square feet. Then there's also, you know, we're monitoring this whole Amazon program, because that's just the tip of the iceberg, the large fulfillment centers. Then they're going to have smaller facilities, and then even smaller facilities as they move in town. For example, they have locations on Goose Island and the near South Side, and the design there is to get, you know, to have a spot where they can offload and deliver to the homes within a day.
And if you live in the city of Chicago, you probably see more Amazon trucks delivering things now than UPS trucks. I don't know that that's scientifically true, but I know in my neighborhood I see more of these Amazon trucks than I do UPS.
Yeah, it's interesting how many that are on the road these days. But one of the things that we're seeing with Amazon, one of their initiatives is to actually move away from UPS and FedEx use to more of the Postal Service, believe it or not. And so we're watching the impact of that as well, because there are special facilities that they're going to need to build to plug into that new distribution network.
And so we're not going to see the need for drone runways and landing areas? That's not going to be one of the big areas?
I won't be financing any drone runways.
No. So let's talk about Walmart in this, because, you know, they've just acquired an Amazon-like company, and they're coming up. Is that going to create even more demand?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, we're always looking at who are the potential users in the market. And it's interesting, it's e-commerce gets all of the attention, but the reality is in Chicago, it's a pretty diverse user base, and it continues to be that way. It's the food users, it's consumer goods, it's manufacturers, which is still probably 30 to 40% of the business, which is great from a job creation standpoint. It's product, you know, a lot of, you know, there's one other one I'm missing, but, you know, my point is that there's a lot of different users, and it's not just the Amazons of the world that are driving this big industrial boom right now.
I often tell people too that it's, this area is worth watching, because I think it's just a big gauge, economic indicator as some of those other economic indicators. Based on that, what would you say it's indicating for the Chicago area economy?
I think it bodes very well for the Chicago economy. I mean, if you look at some of the reports, I just read a report in the last week. It was CBRE does research on this specific asset class. And one of the things that they noted is that this, again, getting back to the intermodal, that they see that the shipments flowing through the existing intermodal going up by 50% over the next 24 months. And that was kind of startling to me. That tells me that it's just the tip of the iceberg, and that those aren't going to be the only intermodals, that there's got to be additional ones added. So this report suggested that it's a perfect storm for Chicago, in that you have these intermodals, you have more land out there available to build more intermodals, you have the land out there to build the distribution facilities, and you have that highway network as well as O'Hare. I mean, we haven't even talked about O'Hare, but mm-hmm. another very strong submarket in Chicago, again, driven by more air traffic distribution.
We had one of your colleagues, one of our last conversations, say it's cranes in the air, it's shovels in the ground. It's also what you're saying, too. It's all of the stuff that's happening right under the surface.
Exactly.
It's good chatting with you, Greg. Good conversation. Can't wait to do it again.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve.